The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Good morning. Welcome. It's a top of the hour do-over, so that's why I gave the good morning routine again. But welcome back. Second hour at 10:02. I'm Randy Corporan. Good to have you here. Phones are full right now. 303-696-1971. When a line opens up, you jump in. We're going to speak with the U.S. Senate candidate Eric Odland here in about 25 minutes. And at 11 o'clock, Wayne Allen Root. He was originally scheduled for the show Saturday. Dr. Navarro, came up as a last-minute guest. I usually don't like to squeeze so many guests in because I want to spend more time with you. And before we get back to the full lines, let's just do a little bit of this. Yeah, let's cut to the chase. That's all result of the bloodbath on Tuesday. That's the theme of the Arapahoe Tea Party meeting next Tuesday at 6:30. You can get your tickets at Eventbrite. Just put in Arapahoe Tea Party November meeting. You'll see the bright red bloodbath meme right there. U.S. Senate candidate Eric Odland will be our guest. We'll look back on the election results around the country and look forward as to what's next. But here is what that wonderfully open-minded, middle-of-the-road CNN pundit Van Jones had to say as the polls were closing in Virginia.
When this election is over in Virginia, we will know, have we seen the emergence of the Delta variant of Trumpism? The Delta variant of Trumpism. In other words, Youngkin, same disease, but spreads a lot faster and can get a lot more places. The suburbs, if they fall to him, you now
that's implying that...
About enough of that. The Delta variant of Trumpism. So, yeah, let's run away from Trump because then nobody will talk about him, right? Here is the way that the Democrats reacted after the results in Virginia were officially called. And you'll recognize many of these voices, but rather than call them out as we hear them, just enjoy Democrats in disarray.
This is the announcement that Joe Biden will not be happy to hear.
I'm not going to call it a blowout. It's a bloodbath.
The state was bright blue,
right,
yesterday. And now, as of next January, the state's going to be almost entirely in control of Republicans. And that's, you know, that's a bloodbath.
This is a sonic boom of a wake-up call for Democrats.
Some of them are very concerned.
There is a sense of unsettlement. That there are a lot of things that are out of control.
We haven't even talked about the scale of the landslide for Republicans in Virginia, John.
There is this feeling of dread, of discontent.
The backdrop is that President Biden's approval ratings are underwater.
I think that the Democrats are coming across in ways that we don't recognize, that are annoying and offensive and seem out of touch.
If I'm President Biden, I'm not feeling good tonight.
We're going to win.
That's creepy, sleepy, breathless Joe at the end there. And that's on Tuesday. And then on Friday afternoon, traitorous, and I don't mean take them out and execute them. I mean politically traitorous Republicans like the Mitt Romneys and Mitch McConnells in the center, the Adam Kinzingers in the House. Just toss them a lifeboat. Just toss them a life raft. It's absolutely unbelievable to me. But that doesn't mean we're going to stop fighting. That doesn't mean we don't have momentum as we move ahead. There'll be numbers to analyze and things to discuss. We'll do some of that at the Arapahoe Tea Party. I see tickets are going pretty quickly, so grab them before we run out. We do have to limit the free tickets because of space limitations over there at South Metro. Before we get back to the phones, we got away over the last two or three weeks with me being gone and back from doing our Pledge of Allegiance and our national anthem. And I just want to bang those out so I don't run out of time before we get to the end of the show, and then we will jump on the very full phone line. So if you will please first remove your hat and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Now, this is going to be hard to listen to, but it's worth it, and I'll tell you why at the end. And I know that was very hard to hear, but as you know, we can't play the whole whole national anthem right now because of licensing agreements. So we're getting one of our own, and I think we're getting very close to getting that done. So I'm very excited about that. The reason I wanted you to hear that, those are the political prisoners of January 6th. The political prisoners who are being held without bail, without proper medical care, without proper food, often in lengthy stretches of solitary confinement, being placed into quarantine if they're unvaccinated but want to meet with their lawyers. I mean, the list of atrocities against these people, some of whom just walked into the Capitol, walked out, didn't damage property, didn't swing at a police officer, anything like that. Every night at 9 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Mountain Time, they are singing the national anthem from their jail cells. And that was recorded by Marjorie Taylor Greene, who finally got a judge, I guess, to order and allow her to go in and visit these people. And so that recording, I believe, came straight from her cell phone. That's the January 6th political prisoners, 9 p.m. Eastern, singing the national anthem every single night. And the first Coloradoan, who I think it's the very first who took a plea, who was a January 6th participant, will get 2 weeks in community corrections and 3 years on probation. His name is Glenn Wes Lee Croy, and I can't imagine he'd be wanting to talk right now. I'm not going to even bother because he's got to be on his best behavior. The feds are watching. But he's the first Coloradan to be sentenced in connection to the Capitol Hill riot. And he's not accused of breaking anything, hitting anybody. He did enter the Capitol twice, and he pleaded guilty back in August, finally got sentenced. So I assume that he'll be out walking freely under probation, but at least not in a jail cell here very, very soon. And, I'll just tell you, I think there were 10 Coloradans who've been charged. And I can tell you what, not a single one of them are the ones that I talked to back when this was all going on. And I only talked to, I don't know, half a dozen, seven or eight maybe. But we didn't give statements to the FBI. We asked the FBI for their proof. And when they couldn't pop up any, we declined to talk. And none of those people were charged. But it's so heartbreaking to think about men who, and even the idiots, even the ones who broke stuff or did damage, they should be punished. I'm 100% for proper punishment. But so many of these folks, no prior criminal records, in many cases, no violent acts, or if they had prior criminal histories, they weren't violent criminal histories, are being denied bail and being held in conditions that would make you sick to your stomach if you saw them at Guantanamo Bay. It's worse. It's unbelievable. And we got inside reporting, inside information from Marjorie Taylor Greene about it, as well as that recording of these prisoners every night at 9 p.m. Eastern, banding together to sing their national anthem. Please say a prayer for those folks. And now let's get back to the phones. I want to start with Sasha in Highlands Ranch because she wanted to comment on January 6th. Welcome, Sasha.
Thank you, Randy. And I'll get to my question real quickly, but first, I've been waiting to say this for weeks. I hope Don in Colorado Springs is listening because I want him to know how much we Trump supporters get a laugh out of how apoplectic he gets with you. I mean, seriously. It starts my day off right. He makes me laugh. That aside,
you know, yes. I'm going to just say it. I'm not a fan, really, of going back on callers. But the
well,
the,
I had to say that.
I understand it, but the problem for me is that the folks who are telling us to temper our enthusiasm for the successes of Donald Trump, or to ignore the fact that he is the driving force in the Republican Party and is almost certain to be the Republican nominee for president, and just pretend that none of that is true, rather than face it head on and help prepare our candidates to not only embrace the successes of Donald Trump, but talk about the issues that matter to whatever constituents they're talking to. It just seems like it's not impossible to chew gum and walk at the same time and not ignore reality in the process.
Right.
So go ahead, January 6th.
I agree. I saw a gentleman who on Tucker Carlson has done a program on the people who were arrested at the January 6th Capitol incident. At any rate, I can't remember how long he was in, but it was a long time. He didn't even enter the Capitol, and he was arrested. He was kept in solitary confinement, no attorney, nothing. He had cold air-conditioned air blown on him constantly. My question to you is, because I don't forget about these people either, and God bless Marjorie Taylor Greene for doing that, what is their recourse? I don't get this. These are American citizens. And when I think about everybody coming into this country illegally and they're going to get a big payout for doing so, what is their recourse? Can they do anything? Why is this happening to them? Well, I'm saying I know why it's happening to them, but what can they do? This is so wrong.
Well, first thing, it appears the White House is backing away from the $425,000 payout to families of illegal aliens, now known in the media as immigrants, illegal aliens who were separated from their children. They seem to be backing away from that stupidity. Maybe Tuesday election results sent them some messages. But listen, there are efforts being taken right now to get these conditions addressed and to address why these people are not being granted bail. These non-violent charges for some and people with no criminal history or no violent criminal history being denied bail is just inexcusable, unconscionable, and inexplicable, unexplainable here in the United States of America. I know Sidney Powell is fighting that fight with her nonprofit Defending the Republic.
Is she working with these people that were arrested?
Yes, she's been working and has gotten groups of lawyers together. When our own congressional representatives can't get access to these prisoners, aren't even allowed inside to see conditions, it's just political.
This is
war.
Not communist Russia. Supposedly, anyway.
It ain't far away, which is why tiptoeing through these policy disputes and talking about things that make people feel better rather than addressing the real problems and the real tipping point that we're standing on the precipice of right now.
I could not agree more.
Nonsensical. Great call, Sasha. Appreciate
Thank
it.
You.
Thank you.
Bye.
All right. Joe wanted to talk about Dr. Peter Navarro. Really enjoyed having him for the first time in the first hour. Welcome, Joe.
Hi, Randy. I want to give you kudos for having Dr. Navarro on. I
these people that are against the MAGA movement, who do they think is the organizers behind these school board, overthrows from MAGA? It is the Navarros, the Steve Bannons, the MAGA crowd that are really pushing this movement. And the idea that guy from the Springs, John or whoever it is, forget his name, the you hear it on KNUS even, that we should distance ourselves from MAGA and Donald Trump. That's absurd. Who do they think is the driving force behind Virginia? It's us. It's the MAGA movement. You even have the call screener in the morning show saying that they can't talk to Navarro because he's a source of disinformation.
Hmm.
I
don't want to talk about Peter's show. I don't want to talk about anybody else's show because it's just gotten ugly.
All right.
So call them if they'll let you.
Look at Mark Levin and American Marxism, or the ones that originally said that we need to get out and get going in the school board movement and at the lower levels to get it organized. These people are part of MAGA. And it's just absurd to say that Peter Navarro shouldn't be used as a sort. Why would we use the Washington Post liars like Bob Woodward to back our cause? It's just absurd. I caution our side from falling into the trap of getting in with the mainstream media. It's just I applaud you, Randy.
Well, the other piece, Joe, is why would we listen to the folks that have brought us losing candidates and lost elections for decades? And the same folks who would support, the compromise measure of passing this now bipartisan so-called infrastructure bill for $1.2 trillion, 2,000 pages, Obamacare-sized bill that nobody read, and we have 13 House Republicans and 19 U.S. senators from the Republican side that tossed a lifeline to Joe Biden. And
systematically primary them.
Absolutely.
They must be removed from that. There is no room for a rhino in the Republican Party. We must remove these people. They have to be ousted, even at the cost of replacing them, yes, with an unruly Democrat. It's better to know your enemy directly than to have him in the midst of your ranks.
Yeah, 100%. And it's better to be in the fight, have the energy, lose a seat if it's not going to be somebody who'll stand up against this socialist agenda. I imagine any Republicans who voted for Adam, what's his name? Kaczynski.
Kissinger,
yeah. And the Mitt Romney supporters in Utah, that showed up to chant him down at their last state assembly. When they see these folks provide votes that allow an administration that would literally be not even on life support anymore, it would just be dead in the water after what happened last Tuesday, and they give them a whole new talking point and provide life and fire to their socialist agenda. It's pathetic. And even as Republican National Committee man, I'm calling it out. I don't care.
Well, Ken Buck better get the message. You will be ousted if you don't get behind MAGA. And when Donald Trump declares, you better stand with him.
That'll be fascinating to watch. Ken Buck, certainly he didn't vote for any of this garbage on this on this so-called infrastructure bill or anything. Watch the voting. And I don't think Ken Buck is I haven't seen him doing anything wrong, but I'm not watching him that closely right now. I watch the contested seats and the seats that we're going to have to fight for as we move ahead. So, Joe, we've got to take a break.
The problem is,
go ahead. Last comment.
They don't stand with the MAGA movement. It's not just Donald Trump. When you constantly belittle Donald Trump, you forget that he is the organizer of this patriot movement to get back to American values. Stand with him.
It really is the Tea Party on steroids, and I, for one, love it every single day. God bless you, Joe. Thank you.
God bless you, Randy.
All right. Joe's line, only open line we've got, 303-696-1971. Time for a break. Quick minute with U.S. Senate candidate Eric Adlin on the other side. He'll be our guest at the Arapaho Tea Party. And then we'll get right back to your jammed lines here on 710 KNUS. You got that right. I love it when that song pops up about halfway through the show. It really should be our theme music, except I'm too attached to Radar Love. But this is the other theme for the day. Thinking that Democrats don't feel quite the same after Tuesday. And then, of course, Republicans hand them a lifeline with this ridiculous infrastructure bill, 13 in the House, 19 in the Senate, that allowed Nancy Pelosi and the putative President Joe Biden to talk about something else, a bipartisan victory of for socialism shoved down your throat. And I still forgot to run the numbers, but I think it's about half of that money that actually applies to infrastructure. The rest of it is more socialism and tax increase and inflation coming your way, courtesy not just of the Democrats. We expect that from them, but from 19 Senate Republicans and 13 House Republicans, a number of whom won't be running again. There's no way to hold them accountable. So that's why it's so important to carefully vet the candidates and spend some time listening and understanding. So glad that our next phone guest, U.S. Senate candidate Eric Adlin, will be visiting us at the Arapaho Tea Party. I just checked on Eventbrite. Tickets are flying out of there, so don't waste any time. Go to Eventbrite, look for Arapaho Tea Party, November 2021 meeting. You'll see the big red bloodbath meme and a description of what we'll be talking about, including our featured speaker next Tuesday at 6:30, U.S. Senate candidate Eric Adlin. Glad to call him friend. Eric, good morning.
Good morning, Randy. Glad to be back on your show and looking forward to Tuesday night.
Yeah, it's going to be great. We love when candidates care enough to come visit us at the Arapaho Tea Party. We're going to certainly be celebrating the outcome of Tuesday, discussing strategy for moving ahead, and also making sure that we acknowledge those Republicans who really turned their back on the Republican platform, Republican principles, and helped Nancy Pelosi and Joe Biden pull victory from the jaws of Tuesday night's defeat. What say you about that vote that took place yesterday?
Well, I agree. It's a betrayal, and it's a folding when we had the advantage, and we need to take advantage of our victories and continue to press forward and just ceding to this socialist package, which is full of pork, which is thousands of pages. I doubt anybody's read it. It's not good for the American people. It's not good for the people of Colorado. And you're right. We've got to hold these representatives accountable and in some cases primary them and get them out. We need to restore accountability across all levels of government. And I'm frustrated. I'm as frustrated as you are, Randy.
Well, that's good to hear. And how is the campaign going? You've been joined by what? I think there's seven people now running for the position, which, you know, it's kind of a mixed blessing because it really makes it anybody's game. And, you know, but it's also frustrating when you see people that you consider good conservatives battling with each other and then potentially opening up the pathway for someone who is not so Republican platform conservative oriented.
It can certainly make it more complex the more you have in the race, and I see that. I mean, personally, I'm sticking to my own strategy. I'm sticking to my own principles, getting around the state with groups like yours, and that's what's uplifting is when I get to meet with patriots and see that there is a movement happening. There is a rejection of this socialist progressive future, and I have hope, and I think that people need to come out to your meeting Tuesday night. They need to be around like-minded people and see that they're not alone. But now's the time to get activated. In terms of the Senate race, I encourage everybody to do their homework. Come listen to me Tuesday night. Dig into the candidates and understand who you're supporting. And also think about who can beat Michael Bennett, because that's got to be a factor in the equation. It can't just be You know, we have to be very, very smart with who we're putting forward.
Without a doubt. And fortunately, there's time to get through that process. We don't even have the date yet set for our assembly, as I recall, because we were waiting on, you know, getting the redistricting maps completed. But what will people have to look forward to if they come out and see you at Tuesday night's Arapaho Tea Party?
Well, I'm going to talk about why I'm doing this. I'm going to definitely talk about a call to action and ways that we can overcome and bring back accountability to our government, overcome the left, overcome these socialist policies, rebuild the shining city on a hill that Ronald Reagan spoke about. We've got to inject hope. I mean, there are a lot of issues and a lot of concerns. I understand people are weary. I'm weary, too. But we're in a war, and this is for all the marbles. So I want people to recognize that I'm doing this as an act of service to my country. You meet me, and I believe that comes through. I'm not doing this for power, prestige, or political gain. This is a time of crisis. As I've told you many times, Randy, I've got a young family. This was not something I envisioned, but it's something that must be done, and it's going to require everybody bringing their God-given talents to the fore in this time of crisis. It's a generational crisis, and now's the time to act.
U.S. Senate candidate Eric Odland. It's Odland, and it's Odland for Senate, isn't it? .com. Not the website.
Odland for Colorado.
For Colorado. Well, I'll get it right before the show is over. Odland for Colorado. He'll be at our Arapaho Tea Party meeting. We'll talk about the Tuesday night bloodbath. Tickets are going fast. I expect standing room only, so don't mess around. Get to Eventbrite. Look up Arapaho Tea Party November 2021 meeting. No charge or anything. We just have limited space, so we have to ticket the event. And Eric, thanks for calling in. I look forward to seeing you on Tuesday night. God bless you, sir.
I'm excited. God bless you too, Randy. Have a great day.
All right. That is funny. Eric, if you are listening after that, go back and get the podcast because something happened with your signal and it sounded like you were about to run out of gas. That was funny. All right. It's 27 minutes to go now until 11 o'clock. We're a little bit over halfway through the show. I'm going to tell you in a few minutes how you can come see me and a liberal lawyer. In fact, we're going to talk about it together in a couple of minutes, about 10, 15 minutes. And make a presentation on Roe v. Wade. Very important in light of the Supreme Court cases that will be decided during this particular term. So we'll get into that. But right now with full lines, let's get back to your calls. Jay is calling in on January 6th. Jay, good morning.
Morning, Randy. How are you?
Good.
Well, I just had a question about January 6th. So I saw the video before it was cut off of YouTube where the man that took the lovely young lady that was a military person and, you know, shot her in the neck. And what interests me more, and it's a horrific thing, is how that's never mentioned anywhere other than, you know, venues like you have here.
Yeah,
today.
Who killed Ashley Babbitt? Horrific. It's a media blackout on who killed Ashley Babbitt. And we know who did it, and we now know the identity of the cop. We've seen his face. We've seen the shooting 100 times over. Absolutely unnecessary and unprosecuted. That's what's so terrifying. Her hands were through the glass window. Nothing in them. Shot straight through the neck. It's outrageous, Jay. Outrageous.
It really. And now the people that, obviously people that damaged the Capitol, like it that part. But, you know, they were a little riled up about things. But I think we both know that they were rabble-roused by some really bad people. That's my opinion. And got them to that point. Because you could see them in the crowd watching the video.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's we're far from knowing the truth about what happened, how it happened, how it was allowed to happen, whether it was encouraged and promoted in certain ways. This government is so politically, just so corrupt right now. No transparency, nothing. And but I just believe we're going to get to the bottom of it because the number of fighters is growing. And when the number of fighters outnumbers the laydowns, like the ones who voted for the stimulus bill, then we can march even faster, further ahead.
Well, I have a lot of family that are active in an active military in Virginia, which is full of military. And I know for a fact that they came out in by the it's unbelievable. And that's one of the reasons why a really bad guy, McAuliffe, who you know is horrible, is not in there anymore. Thank God that happened.
Absolutely. Jay, thanks so much for waiting, and thanks for weighing in this morning. Yeah. I really do appreciate it. You
Thank
bet.
You.
Jay's is the only open line we've got, 303-696-1971, 696-1971. Texts to the studio have been pouring in. If you don't have the 710 CanUS app, just download it. You can listen to 710 anywhere, crystal clear, if you have an internet connection. And you can pull up the podcast anytime you want, commercial free. And so it's just great because the texts to studio are live. They happen instantly. A lot of times I can respond. Even after the show, I get them on my computer so I can look through and respond to you then. And this is interesting. Do you have any information on Brandon Straka? I believe the FBI also had him in custody as a result of January 6th. And I remember that story. So when I read that earlier, I texted Brandon Straka. You remember him, the founder of the Walkaway Movement. And he responded. He is out and about, and he and I are going to be talking. So I'll find out more about what's going on with Brandon Straka and get back to you. But then there was this text before we get back to the packed lines. Randy, political prisoners, really? Just a little bit overboard, in my never-to-be-humble opinion. They have been tried and convicted in a court of law. What are you talking about? I'm not talking about people who've been tried and convicted. The first of 10 Coloradans just took a plea, finally. 2 weeks of community corrections, 3 years of probation. No violence, no damage, just was on the Capitol grounds. Is that a crime in America now? I don't know. I don't know the details. I didn't read the complaint or exactly what he did, so I'm not commenting on that. But the people, Mr. Texter, that I'm talking about have not been tried. In fact, I heard the story from Marjorie Taylor Greene when I got this recording of the national anthem that these political prisoners are singing every day at 9 p.m. Eastern from their prison cells. Of someone who was set to go to trial, I think it was November 19th or sometime very, very soon, the government asked for a continuance, and now his trial is not set until May, and he's not being offered bond. Why are these people not being allowed to bond out like any street-level criminal would be allowed to do? Especially nonviolent. The nonviolent ones are the ones, you know, there are people who get bonded out for violent crimes all the time if they don't have a prior history of it. And there are these political prisoners in horrific conditions with lousy food, no sanitation, a ton of being locked down in alone in cells, unable to contact their lawyers. If they actually want an in-person meeting, they go into quarantine and isolation for 14 days, garbage in the food, broken fingers, swollen hands, serious diseases that aren't being treated. And Texter, these are not people who've been tried yet in a court of law. They're awaiting their trial. That's what's so outrageous about this. So the conclusion, thus they are convicted lawbreakers and are paying for their stupid decisions. In some cases, I'll agree that the decisions were stupid. Not all. Not everybody who went into the Capitol had ill will or should be facing any consequences for a broken law. We're going to the Capitol all the time. But they're not convicted lawbreakers, not a single one. In fact, the only way they're getting out of jail, like this guy in Colorado, the first, is by copping a plea and then making some statements about, oh, how stupid I was, and I believed the lies on the internet, and blah, blah, blah. So to close out this lengthy test, what I am hearing from you is just another example of you trying to pander to your base. Sad that you apparently cannot see that. Well, okay. If your initial premise, your initial facts were right, maybe so. Last I checked, boy, this is so true from this texter. We are a country of laws and believe in and try to follow most of the time the rule of law. So part of the rule of law is bonding people out who qualify, who can post the bond. These, a lot of these crimes, which are just trespassing or being inside the Capitol, no violence, no damage of any kind, shouldn't even require a bond. You could do a personal recognizance, it's a bond, but it doesn't require any money. And it's not happening. So answer that, Mr. Texter. if their trials are being continued, they're not being offered the chance to bond out, and they're being held in conditions that we wouldn't foist upon Guantanamo Bay prisoners, does that not make them political prisoners? Seems to me that it does. All right, I've babbled up to the break. Sorry about that to the full lines. When we return, we're going to talk a brief couple of minutes about my presentation next Saturday at 1 o'clock with Attorney Rose Zipor on Roe v. Wade. That should be an interesting conversation. We'll get right back to your calls just as soon as we're done. Stay with us here, 710 KNUS. No, 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 no. We don't need no women in black dresses. We gotta
celebrate, celebrate, dance to the music. Celebrate, celebrate, dance to the music.
Oh, yeah.
Celebrate,
bloodbath.
Celebrate, dance to the music.
That's what it was Tuesday night,
celebrate,
and then, of course,
celebrate,
32 Republicans, 19 from the Senate back in August, and 13. All right, enough of that. 13 back in, or 13 yesterday in the House of Representatives, just pull this blowout defeat for the Biden administration and just hand them a victory on a bill that is garbage from top to bottom. Oh, and another $1.2 trillion, by the way, as if that doesn't matter somewhere in there. And we haven't heard from Rose, so let me just tell you this. 1 o'clock next Saturday, November 13th, United Methodist Church at 38th and Wadsworth in Wheat Ridge. She and I will be discussing, from a legal perspective, Roe v. Wade. And the intent is to keep this non-political, and that's going to be interesting to see how we make that happen. We were to have a Zoom meeting to sort of plan it. That hasn't happened yet either. But it's such a politicized issue, and she is a pro-abortion, she would say pro-choice supporter of Roe v. Wade, and of course I am an adamantly pro-life, don't kill babies in the womb supporter. But lawyers, you know, are supposed to be able to separate their passions from just the cold, hard facts, and sounds like that's what we'll be trying to do. Be very interesting, especially when we get to Q&A. At the United Methodist Church, 38th and Wadsworth, next Saturday at 1 p.m. I'll be flying over there right after the show. If we hear from Rose later, we'll squeeze her in as well. Top of the hour, we'll be joined by Wayne Allen Root. We'll do maybe 10 or 15 minutes on his new book and then get right back to your full lines. We got plenty of time for calls right now as well. But this texter was kind enough to respond, and I appreciate that he or she is listening. You're welcome to call, although I guess with full lines it's hard to get in. But here was the response. My bad if they have not been tried and convicted. Okay, fair enough. That being said, you just stated on air that you're making assertions and assumption without adequately investigating the source and veracity of the information. I'd do some investigation, but I suggest that you do the same. Well, I didn't say that. I don't, at least not in this context. What did I say that about? That I need to get the numbers. I think I was talking about the performance of unaffiliateds in Virginia, which I had looked into and failed to bring in with me. I thought I might be able to pull them up on my computer. But the stuff that's going on with these political prisoners, there's no question about it. There's no question that they've been arrested and thrown in jail, that they're being held in horrific circumstances. Lawsuits are being filed. Lawyers are being shunned. Wives and family members are talking about it. Organizations are trying to bring more legal force to bear. A judge finally made it possible for congresspeople to get in and see the results. No question that this one man's trial that was scheduled this month is now postponed to May, and he is still not being offered bail. So, and then this guy says, I don't consider Marjorie Taylor Greene to be a credible, reliable source of information. I do. I've gotten to know her. I've checked her out. Doesn't mean she doesn't misspeak, say something stupid. Lord, if you want to hear something stupid, just listen to somebody like me talk for 3 hours. You're always going to make a mistake or something's going to come out wrong or whatever. But as far as credible information, sorry, I haven't found her wrong yet. And, on particular facts that I've been focused on and talked about and taken a look at. So there you go on that. Was your text that you're reading signed? No, nobody was signing. These January 6th political prisoners are being treated just like the Antifa who attacked federal building in Portland, right? Boy, that's another great point and a great contrast to the other texter. Why do people who burned down cities, who chained police officers in police stations and then lit them on fire, created all kinds of mayhem? They're ticketed, they're processed, they're let go, and then the charges are dismissed. My goodness, the inequity here is just stunning. But here's what keeps me so confident. The investigation, I don't mean this ridiculous Star Chamber January 6th committee that Liz Cheney's a part of. The investigation into what really happened on January 6th is coming, just like the arrests that have been made by John Durham now into the Russia collusion investigation. You know, that's 5 years in now. 5 years in. The criminal investigation in Arizona, we're, what, 11 months after the election now. The criminal charges that I think have been filed, but I know they're being investigated in election fraud 2020 in Wisconsin. A 10-month investigation. This stuff takes time, but so often the media won't cover it, but the truth does come out. All right, let's see who's been waiting the longest. Looks like Cheryl in Arvada. Good morning, welcome, and thank you.
Oh, welcome morning to you, Randy. Did you know that U.S. Marshals made a visit to the two jails in D.C.? In October, the results didn't come out until this last Wednesday.
Yes. You're talking about to pass these inspections and stuff? Go ahead.
Well, they took 400 prisoners and transferred them to, I think, a military jail in Pennsylvania. They did not release any of the January 6th detainees, and they're in the same squalid conditions. Judge Royce Lamberth did order... his name is Christopher Worrell, released, like, immediately so he can go home and start cancer treatment. And there's another one who has a broken wrist, hasn't been treated.
Yeah, he's got a finger that is just bent over sideways, hand is all swollen, not one bit of medical attention. There's people there who are allergic to certain things, like gluten in their meals, and so they're getting very sick, the food. It's interesting I just put you on, Cheryl, because a text just came in. Randy, judge finally got involved, 400 of those prisoners being moved because of how deplorable the conditions are in the D.C. jail. They failed this inspection of the jail on multiple in multiple points, and yet these January 6th political prisoners not being offered bond are still being held there. It's incredible.
They're
the fact
still
that
in one of the really, really terrible places. And I think it's just a message to the rest of us. You better shut up and sit down or look what we can do to you.
Absolutely.
I mean, it is frightening, Randy, terribly frightening.
It really is, Cheryl, and I'm so grateful that you waited and weighed in this morning.
Grateful for you. I really am.
I hope you have a wonderful, wonderful weekend.
You too. Thank you.
All right, you bet. And Cheryl's line is open, 303-696-1971. Brian and Eric, sit tight. Looks like Rose is joining us now. So, Rose Zapor, good morning.
Good morning. I'm sorry I'm a few minutes late here.
Well, that's okay. We've only got a couple minutes left now before the break, but I did mention at 10:45 that you and I will be presenting a legal perspective from the left and from the right. But and this is the question I want to ask you. How are we going to do this apolitically? But it's 1 o'clock at the Wheat Ridge United Methodist Church, 38th and Wadsworth, next Saturday, live and in person with a packed audience, I'm hoping, and questions and answers after. How in the world are we going to keep from that from devolving into the political aspects, one of the most highly charged political?
Well, you know, I'm circulating flyers that say just the facts, ma'am, from the old Dragnet show.
Sure.
And what I'm hoping is that about how the court found this to be a fundamental right and of privacy. It's a right of privacy. And, you know, there are so many arguments on both sides that I don't want it to devolve into you're right and I'm wrong kind of thing.
Sure.
Because both sides are right, both sides are wrong. And you know my feelings about this. You know, I'm pro choice and you're pro-life, and that's fine. And, you know, I think we can discuss what the lead up to the decision was, based on fundamental right of privacy, and what's happened since, and what the justices are going to look at now.
All right.
Because, justices are human beings, and they have opinions just like the rest of us.
How long do you expect this program to go, and will there be a Q&A after?
I expect it to go at least the program itself, I think, will go at least an hour, and absolutely questions and answers.
Great.
I love audience participation, and, you know, just remember, people, we are in a church, and although we're not talking about religious or hopefully very much political discussion, we need to respect the space.
All right, Rose Zapor, we'll have you on next Saturday as we get ready for the presentation on Roe v. Wade, past, present, and future at the Wheat Ridge United Methodist Church, 38th and Wadsworth, 1 p.m. next Saturday. And we still need to have our Zoom meeting so we can sort of lay out some ground rules and figure out the direction of the program. So I'll be in touch over the weekend, and we'll get that done.
Yes. Unfortunately, I had a last-minute client thing that I had to do, and that's why we didn't connect yesterday.
Well, we'll get her done, but, and appreciate you calling in this morning. We're up against a break, and I'll talk to you soon. God bless.
God bless, Randy.
Bye. All right. Oops. Well, you heard the buh, and I'm sure she meant bye-bye. Rose Zapor, someone I went to law school with, worked in my law firm for, a number of years, now has her own probate and elder law practice, and just the sweetest, nicest lady you'd ever want to meet. Should be fascinating next week. I hope you can find some time to make your way to Wheat Ridge and join us. It's going to be very, very interesting. Anyway, we do have to take our break. We've got full lines. Everybody be patient, because when we come back, we're going to be joined by Wayne Allen Root to talk about his new book, all about activism and patriotism. And we'll see if it has anything to do with Trumpism, that thing that should not be spoken about in Colorado. That's next here on 710 KNUS.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.